Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology Open Office Hours call, our very first one for the year 2017. Welcome and Happy New Year. Sending you lots of blessings for a bright and happy and healthy and prosperous and successful new year. So these are the calls for those of you who are new, where you can come and ask any questions related to your clinical experience, whether it's about a particular patient or client, whether it's about a particular protocol, whether it's about something in the materials that you're studying, or even if it's something about your practice and, you know, a marketing type question, we even can handle some of those as well. So the way that you work, I look like Laura and Favor just came on and said, hi, they can hear me. Thank you. Happy New Year to you too. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And the way that this works is if you have a question, you go ahead and raise your hand, star two, and I will call on you. Or if you're on the web, you just type it in. It looks like right now the best place to type it in is the chat, because I have it sitting next to me, but either the chat or I'll check the Q&A as well, whichever's easier for you. I do have one question that I will handle that's right from the website that was sent in December 15th from Sahar El-Adib. I hope I said your name correctly, Sahar. But the question is, it's a good question and it's good for everybody. I have a patient who has done the HPL challenge with four capsules and still felt nothing. She's on a mineral supplement, probiotics, glutamine enzymes. If someone feels nothing on the challenge, where do we go from there? That's a great question. And we say in the protocols, and you'll see that wherever you see a HPL challenge protocol listed, is that if they do, if you get to four, stop. And the reason is that you don't want to inadvertently injure them. If you have a lot of experience with it, you can probably move to five, six, and some people even take six or eight, but you got to be really careful with taking too much. So typically what I would do is if somebody does the HPL challenge and they feel nothing on four, I would just have them continue to take the four with their meals and really just pay attention. Now, when they take four HCLs with a meal, you're not taking four right at the beginning of the meal. You're actually spreading it out. So they'll have a few bites of food, take their first HCL, have a few more bites of food, take their second, and on until they take their number. And that way, there's not so much HCL on an empty stomach. You never want to take HCL on an empty stomach because it will damage the lining of the gut. If someone is not feeling anything, it often means that they are very, very deficient in HCL, that they're not producing enough, and that even taking that much is not putting them over the top. However, there could be some nerve supply issue, a sensory issue with the gut, that there is damage, but they're not feeling it. So that's why we would stop at four and then just have them pay close attention. Continue to take the mineral supplements, especially if it's a liquid mineral supplement, because that's going to be really helpful. Probiotics, glutamine, all that stuff is good. Where do we go from there? I would say just supplement with it. I would also be giving them bitters to trigger their own HCL production. So you're giving them some to help and pay attention to signs of low minerals. So if you've had them do the assessments, the mineral balance assessments, I would do this HCL supplementation for a month, 6 weeks, and then have them do those nutrient assessments again. And also just be paying attention, how their nails look, how's their hair, how's their energy, etc. If they go for 6 weeks and they're still not feeling anything, and you're also giving them bitters to help stimulate their own, I would, before adding more, I'd probably do some sort of demulcents to soothe and heal, just in case there is some damage from it. And then you can actually, with the meals, at the beginning of the meal, maybe you do a demulcent, because so that protects the stomach, and then you can do the HCL, and then you can go to five and see. But for now, if you don't have a lot of experience with it, I'd caution you to just stick with the four and then just pay close attention. Okay? All right. Let me look to see if any other questions came in, and I will go. Nope. So star two raises your hand. Come on, don't be shy. What's on your mind? How can I support you? How can I help you? Are there areas that you want clarification on? Are there clients you're working with that have particular issues going on? For those of you in CMDS, we have our big all-day, I think it's like 4 or 5 hours, I can't remember the exact number, amount of time, but we have a case study coaching call on Saturday. So if you have any cases that you would like us to do, there's a case study submission form that you can go to on the site and fill that in. Make sure we get good detail. Make sure you get that to me. I mean, if I haven't already gotten them, I think Lynn says we have a few already, but if I haven't gotten it by the end of today, then I'm just not going to have enough time to really review it and set it up. So by the end of today, if you get those cases in, and if it's not a full-blown case, if you just have some, you know, GI labs, bring them on. Those don't require a full case. You could just use the notes place and just use the lab upload and just tell us a little bit about the person. It's always good to know, even just looking at one lab, it's good to know what the person's experiencing, what kind of challenges they have, what kind of interventions they've done up till then. So it really does help, and it's probably a good idea for you to just fill out the whole case history form to get used to it, because those are the kind of questions you want to make sure that you ask them. Okay, nobody's raising their hands, but Valerie has a question. Where do I get my ARAMA? Last time I got ARAMA, I think it was from Rising Tide. I think Frontier sometimes has it, and the places I use for, and I can't keep them all straight, so we do a number of different sea vegetables. I use Maine Coast Sea Vegetables, Maine Sea Vegetables, Ryan Drum, where I just get the kelp, the Primo kelp from, and that's BC kelp, and then Mendocino Sea Vegetables. They all have good stuff, and then Rising Tide is the other one. Cool. Well, I'll just ask you guys questions. Who's done some stool testing on their clients? Xavier says you raised your hand twice, and I'm not seeing you. Let's see. I don't see any hands raised. Interesting. What's your number, Xavier? Because I don't see your name listed here. But so I don't know how to open you if you haven't raised your hand. If you haven't called in or used the web call, then I won't see your hand because if you're just listening on the web. So if you're just listening, you can go ahead and type it. So who I see? I see Wireless Caller Atlanta, Anonymous from web call. There's two web calls, anonymous. I can open those up and see. Cell phone, Minneapolis. Thomas H., New York City. Does any of these sound like they might be you? I know these are.
This is Ben.
Let me open up the anonymouses and see if one of those is you, Favor.
This is Lynn.
Hello, Favor, speak. And let's see if that's you. Favor? Favor? Okay, I'm going to open up all the lines, and then Favor, you speak, and then I'll see where it's coming from, and then we'll turn it off. I'll just turn everybody else's line. So if you have some dogs barking in the background, just let everybody be quiet for a second. So Favor, just go ahead and say hello.
Hello.
Favor, say hello.
Hello. Hello.
Not
hello.
Hearing you. You have a bad connection and
yes.
Have to call back in.
I can hear her.
Hello?
I'm not hearing you and I'm
hello?
Not seeing you. Lynn, would you say, I'm not hearing anything. Somebody speak. Maybe it's me.
I can hear you.
My phone is not putting things out. Let me just check. Lynn, go ahead and speak and tell me.
I can hear
okay.
Her.
So there's something going on my end where I'm not hearing people.
I can hear it too.
Speakers, Logic.
Okay.
There we go.
So other people can hear me saying I can hear her.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now I can. I don't know what I just did. All I did was raise the volume ever so slightly on my phone, and now I hear you. Weird. Okay, let me shut everybody else's lines. Favor, say hello. Let me see.
Hello.
Hello. 4447.
Okay, I'm going to put everybody on lecture, and then I'll open up you. Sorry about that.
Yes, all right.
Hi, yes, I can hear you now.
Yes, I can hear you. Happy New Year to you, Dr. Lisa Marie.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I don't know what was going on, but as soon as I looked at my volume, and I seriously, it was at 3/4, and I pushed it up a tiny, tiny bit, and then suddenly it was like it was off. Very strange.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. I can hear you now. I can hear you. Yeah.
All right. So what can I do for you today?
I have a question. I have uploaded my blood test from my GI doctor yesterday. I went to see them. So I had the result. I already uploaded. So would you please have a look for me and help me to understand the blood test result, please?
I uploaded Favor's labs into the Dropbox.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's in the calendar for today.
Okay, I didn't see it. So is it in that same case studies new folder, or which one is it in?
It is in... Hold on.
Favor, INE open office hours. Got it. I see where you put it. Let me find it.
Okay.
INE open office hours current. Okay. Let me look. And this is the blood test, because last time we looked at your stool test, right?
Yeah. This is the one I went to see my GI doctor the last time when I talked to you. Then he said he's going to send me to do the blood test, and I got the result yesterday from my GP here. The blood test itself showed that I got a high marker of the B12, which I'm not taking any B12 supplement.
Yeah.
I wonder what is causing
it.
So I wonder if it's because of the polycystic liver disease. I don't know, because I did ask Lynn on Facebook, so I don't know what is causing it. So maybe you'll be able to help me to understand
this. Yeah, let me look at that. Let me ask Lynn a question, though. Lynn, when did you put that up? Because it's not showing up in my Dropbox.
I put it up this morning.
Huh. Okay. All right. Let me go to the website. Did you send it in as a? Did she send it in as a uploader? This whole thing isn't working very well.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let me see if I can
find it. It's in the uploader.
Is that in the coaching box inbox, or is that in a separate place?
Well, it's in the coaching, but you'd still have to go to mock forms because the link doesn't.
The link doesn't work.
Follow
through. All right, let me go there. It's going to make it easier. Okay, give me 1 second to do this. We're trying to get this whole system down, and it doesn't seem to work all the time.
Okay. I'll hang on.
Okay, I'm logging in. All right. So it was uploader, CMBS uploader. Yeah, not yet. Hey, Sweet Spot Brain Technical Assistance. Is it the INE file uploader, Lynn?
Yes.
Okay, there it is. Let's see. I'm going to move them into that folder. Okay, I'm saving all three of these. Since December 2015. Is that just a mistake? Because December 2015 was over a year ago.
Yes. No. 2016. Sorry.
All right. No problem. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm so sorry. I'm still living in
Jerusalem. I just want to make sure that you didn't upload the wrong ones.
No. It's just 2016. It's just December. Yeah, just December.
Yeah, December 20. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. So there are particular questions. Yeah, so your B12 is high. Here's what my understanding and my explanation of high B12. When people are actually having methylation issues and they're not actually methylating and activating their B12, but the B12 stays built up in the bloodstream and it doesn't actually get out into the cells and do its job. So if you're not taking B12, then I would look at all your supplements to make sure that there's no cyanocobalamin, first of all, in any multis that you're taking, because cyanocobalamin, if you've got methylation issues, not going to work.
Yes, I have taken the 950, the encapsulation one, 950. I just finished the whole month supply, so I'm stopped taking it right now. But I'm on the green, or the chlorella, and the spirulina. I'm doing my heavy detox.
Okay, yeah, but you're not taking
at the moment.
You're not taking.
No, I'm not taking B12. No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
And you're not taking a multi that may be containing cyanocobalamin.
No. No.
Okay.
I'm on the natural food supplement, which I'm using the chlorella and spirulina, and I'm taking a kg of green veggie every day. I boil it and I grind it. I blend it, and then I eat it. My bowel is moving now without taking any stomach acid, the hydrochloric acid, which is good. But the gas burping is lesser.
Good.
But my throat suddenly just come up with the kind of feeling that when I swallow, but actually this was happened last month. I forgot to tell you. And I swallow, I feel like something is in my throat. It's like something is blocking that when I press it, right in the center there is just where our thyroid gland, so the upper a bit, and I see a lot of gas coming out. I wonder what it is. I'm eating a lot of ginger every day, ginger and the Chinese herb coffee. So I add a little bit of liquid zinc, and that might help me to increase my digestion. The stomach acid is start producing, and I'm not getting constipation. Every day I'm eating 1 kg of vegetables.
Great.
Every day.
Well, that's great news. Okay. That's great news. But now the thing in your throat, when I think about things in your throat that relate to gas and bloating, it could be a hiatal hernia that the stomach is actually coming up through the diaphragm and it's causing some of that reflux. And you may not feel it as burning. So I would go on YouTube, type in hiatal hernia adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of different There's a bunch of different self things you could do, or you could have your husband or a child or somebody that you have that, you know, you could trust to do it. Not that hard to do, or see a chiropractor that's trained in kinesiology and say, can you check me for a hiatal hernia?
Okay.
Okay. And it can happen, you know, it can happen just from, it happens temporarily. I think I had that happen to me a couple of weeks ago because I was, you know, overeating or whatever. And I suddenly felt this like burning, and I felt like a little regurgitation and I felt it in my throat. It didn't feel burning down by my stomach, but I felt it in my throat. I'm like, oh,
I don't get the feeling of burning in my stomach either on my throat, but I just feel like when I press it, the gas is coming up. When the gas, I feel like the things have disappeared. It seems like it's a gas blocking in my tube, in the windpipe. I don't know what is causing it.
Well, I mean, that could be too. But if it feels like the gas is coming up from your gut, then it could be a hiatal hernia. If it feels like it's coming from your lungs, then it's something else and should be watching
for it. It feels like it's coming up from my lung when I press my lung area. So I always get gas, even before I have this symptom. It's been quite some time, but I thought maybe it's the gas blocking in my meridian points and all that, because I learned Chinese medicine before. So I'm due to go home to my country next week. My friend is going to do me all the acupuncture from front and back. You know, the learn du liang mai, the learn and do, the front and the back, the meridian points. She's going to do it for me because I can't do it myself.
Right.
And another thing I need to let you know as well, because I'm struggling with the liver pain, and every time if I eat something different, it doesn't matter whether it's food, something is new, and I'll get pain in my liver area. And if I take any supplement, anything that is new to my body, I will get a pain reaction. When the pain starts, it hit on my knees as well. My both knees will get pain as well. I wonder what is causing it. And
well,
I spoke to my GP. She said that there is nothing to do with your liver. You say it's nothing to do with your liver. It's all in your head. It annoys me. I can't talk to them. I was trying to talk to the doctor. maybe.
Okay, so let me just stop you there, though. Let me just stop you there, right? So when you press on one part and you feel it in another part, right, to me that seems like it's an energetic, like an acupuncture meridian pathway.
Mm.
So you know your Chinese medicine. Look to see if you're pressing in your liver area, is it a liver point around your knee that you're aggravating? And you may just be, there may be some energetic block there that needs to be cleared.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It might be the energetic block there. That's why I'm going home for the acupuncture, so that my friend can do it for me. But this thing has been happened to me few months now, so I thought it can't be true. But anyway, and when I eat anything,
that to me sounds energetic block. Let's go back to the lab soap, because I know there's a lot going on, and I want to give everybody else a chance to talk as well. But there's a couple of key things here that I'm seeing in your lab that I want you to know about. Your alkaline phosphatase is very, very low. It's a 42. I like to see it at least 80. Okay.
Why is it low, though?
Zinc. Usually zinc deficiency. Not enough
I'm
zinc.
I'm taking a lot of zinc. I'm taking 60 mg a day.
You're not absorbing it. You're not absorbing it. How many are you taking today? 50?
60 mg.
And how? What form are you taking it in?
I'm taking from the metabolic company.
The liquid?
The liquid
the
drop.
Liquid.
Yeah, the liquid drop, yeah.
And it's 50? You're sure it's 50 milligrams a day of elemental zinc?
Yeah.
Raise it up. Raise it up to 90. For a little while,
90,
and just
okay.
see. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know what, I haven't seen previous labs, this might be up, maybe it was 10 before, but that's oftentimes zinc, and given all your digestive issues, zinc is a real key component. And so you have that vicious cycle of you need zinc to make stomach acid, you need stomach acid to absorb zinc. So the way that I help people with that is give them stomach acid. I wouldn't in your case because of all your issues. It may aggravate, but you know, some of the bitters, you know, chewing on dandelion before you eat,
Every day I eat the arugula, about 4 packets, about 50 grams.
Okay. Are you doing it before you eat, though, 15 minutes before your meal to stimulate the stomach acid?
Yes. I take it before my meal, yes.
Okay, good. So you're doing that part, but you may just have to jumpstart it. Now, the studies I've seen with zinc is that a lot of the deficiencies have to do with your mother's nutrition and your grandmother's nutrition and even your great-grandmother's nutrition. So if they were zinc deficient when they were pregnant with you, then you're going to carry that and you're going to need a whole lot more zinc throughout your life and you're going to need some supplementation. And there were some rat studies that showed this. And, you know, of course, we're not rats, but there's a lot of similarities in that they took a pregnant mama rat, and they deliberately made her zinc deficient, measured, you know, signs and said, yeah, she's zinc deficient, had baby rats who were zinc deficient measured, and then they fed the baby rats sufficient zinc throughout their lives so that they didn't actually show the signs, but they carried it and passed it on to their babies, and their babies were born zinc deficient. And it took like 3 or 4 generations to correct it. And I've known, you know, of people, of cases that they didn't respond to 50 milligrams. They didn't respond to 75 milligrams. They didn't respond to 90. They responded to 100. Not for long periods of time, mind you, but it's a simple test to go back and redo your alkaline phosphatase. I mean, you could go to Direct Labs and just order alkaline phosphatase for probably $15 and get it tested in 6 weeks. So
when do you think that I need to do this test again?
I would do the alkaline phosphatase again. I would up your zinc and do it again in 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks, okay, I'll do that.
Right, because I don't think you're going to get your digestion working properly unless you get your zinc levels up.
Okay, makes sense.
Just my observation. The other things I'm seeing here, your ferritin is very high. It's above the lab range. It's 168. Now that's going to affect your liver. It could be causing liver issues, but it could be caused by liver issues. So your body is not able to break that ferritin down into iron. I don't see serum iron here, which I think is a huge mistake when the conventional docs are running lab tests, is to not do serum iron, because we're functionally oriented, right? We want to see how things are functioning. They're looking at static measures. Well, they say, well, we don't want to measure iron anymore. We just want to know the status of ferritin. But the truth of the matter is we see a lot of people with high ferritin and low iron, or low iron and high ferritin. And that doesn't make sense, right? So if you're just going to use one of the markers, you're going to miss the opportunity to see a metabolic pathway that's not working properly. And so if the body, if you have low serum iron but high serum ferritin, there's something wrong with the mechanism of breaking down the ferritin and turning it into iron, which is going to leave you anemic. I'm looking at your anemia stuff right now. I'm looking at your red blood cells. And what I see is, so your MCV is 91. I like to see optimally it's no more than 90, 89 or 90. The higher the MCV goes, the larger the blood cells are, the more B12 or folate deficient you are. So even though your serum shows that you have a lot of B12 there, your MCV, which is a functional marker, is showing that you're possibly low in B12. If we also did homocysteine, we could confirm that, or methylmalonic acid, and that would be multiple markers. B12 is super important and is affected by, absorption is affected by gut ileum problems, right? It's absorbed in the ileum. And you have to have, number one, good intrinsic factor being produced in your stomach. Number two, you have to have good absorption happening in that lower part of the ileum. And if you're having dysfunction, which you've been having for so long with constipation and pain and all that, there's something going on in your gut that could be disrupting your B12 absorption. So you have functionally, it looks like you're B12 deficient, right? Functionally, it looks B12 deficient. But on the lab, it shows high B12. To me, that smacks of you've probably got a methylation issue and an absorption issue.
Should I do the methylation test?
Well, you can run 23andMe and you'll get to see that. But the point is, we can just assume that. You don't need that in order to move forward. We can just assume that that's an issue and get you starting to take a B12, but in a liposomal form. Liposomal is going to bypass the need for the intrinsic factor and the ileal absorption. And it's going to get absorbed right there in the small intestine through the chylomicrons. So if you can get yourself some liquid liposomal. Seeking Health has it, and I'm sure there's others. I usually buy it from Seeking Health.
You start
small and you work your way up. And I want you to just pay attention to how your body feels. Start with a few drops. See how you feel. Move a little bit higher. Now, without knowing that one of the reasons of not wanting you to go high with the B12 is because without knowing your methylation pathways, without seeing it, we don't know if you have a SNP called COMT, catecholamine O-methyltransferase. If you do, then you're not going to handle a large influx of methyl groups all at once. You're going to have to get your body used to it, and you might feel anxious. So what I'd have you do is get some B12, liposomal B12. Yep. Start with just a couple of drops. Pay attention. Do you feel more anxious? Do you feel more agitated, violent, snippy, right, irritable? Mm-hmm. If you do, then you back off. So you can just keep increasing that up to the their dose on the bottle is ridiculous because they have you doing 5,000. I would say keep increasing it up to about 1,000 micrograms. Okay. But don't start with 1,000 micrograms because I don't want you to go, into a tizzy because we don't know what some of your other genetics are. So here's the thing. Labs are awesome because they help us to see that point in time. Well, with genetics, it helps us to see way more than a point in time. But the point is that we can move slowly and observe when we know how things function. And that's why with the B12, yes, it would be nice to know, but if you decided today that you were going to get your 23andMe genetics done, you're going to order it. It's going to take a week for them to get it to you. You're going to do it. It's going to take 4 weeks for them to get it back to you. In the meantime, let's just make some good clinical judgments here. And say, get yourself some liposomal methyl B12. Move slowly with it. If you get to a point where you're only able to take 300 micrograms of B12, and I think you probably need more than that, then you can switch and you go, okay, if I get agitated, if I take more than 300, stay at the 300, then you can get yourself another form of B12. That's good, but not quite the full activation of methyl, like a hydroxy or an adenosyl. An adenosine might actually be a good thing for you to look into, because the adenosine is really good for feeding the mitochondria. And you need that. You need your energy to boost. You need your cellular energy to boost to be able to heal whatever this is that's going on. So that's
another
option.
Can I get adenosine?
Adenosine, I think they have it at Seeking Health as well.
Yeah.
Metabolics has it too, the place where you're getting, which you said you're getting the zinc from. Yeah, Metabolics has it as well. Metabolics has it.
Okay. Is there anything that on my blood test that you can point out? What about, I did a urine test as well.
Give me a second. Wait, you asked me a question. Here, I'm going to interrupt you because you asked me a question. I go to try to understand, and then you're on to another question, and I'm not paying attention. Next question, because I'm still working on your first question, okay?
I thought you finished with me with the first
question. My brain doesn't work quite that fast. I have a fast brain, but not quite that fast, girl.
I'm not a computer.
I wish I was a computer. So I'm just looking at a couple of other things to make sure that, you know, troponin's okay. Erythrocyte sedimentation is a little on the high side. There's an inflammatory marker called ESR. And the range is 1 to 20, and 16 is a little high. I like to see it below 10. So there is some inflammation, and that's just confirming that there's some inflammation going on here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, let me look at your hemoglobin. Yeah, these numbers, some of these ranges, because they're where are you, in London?
Yes.
Yeah. So some of these are but I'm looking at the range, and you're right in the middle. So. RDW. Yeah, so there's a macro, signs of a borderline macrocytic anemia here. I'm looking at your other numbers. Monocytes are reasonable. They're a little, monocytes are a little bit high, higher than I'd like to see. Okay, is this range? I'm not sure on your ranges. If I'm reading this right. Let me just see. Range is 2 to 75. No, there's something. Oh, I see they're giving you the absolutes. Never mind. So monocytes are a little bit elevated, which could indicate a chronic infection or a healing infection. So, you know, going back to the gut, we looked at your gut already. You had some stuff and you just recently did this. So it looks like it's healing. Eosinophils are reasonable. They're under 3%, which is a sign of like an IgE allergy type reaction, and basophils are low as well. So, you know, basophils might be a little bit higher than I would say. So, there's still some indication that maybe there's some gut bugs that need to be taken care of. I'm going to look just at the rest of this. So that's the first page, this page. I'm looking to see what else. I would say you really should be getting a serum iron done, just to see what's going on with the ferritin. Okay.
Serum iron. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Your liver enzymes, from what they did, they didn't do very many, but they look okay. Your sodium looks okay. That's it. That's all I'm seeing there.
Okay. Okay. Can I ask a question now?
Sure.
Okay. My question, remember the last call I did tell you that they asked me to take the URAUSI, the recommendation from the lab test. I have been taking it since on the Christmas Eve until today. I think it's about 10 days. And now I'm about to starting to take the garlic tomorrow because you say 5 days. So I took it for 10 days now. So I'm going to stop it tomorrow. Then I'm going to start with the garlic. But because at the moment I'm doing the heavy detox. Heavy metal detox.
Heavy metal detox, right?
Yes. So I'm doing it with the I'm doing with that. I did get a lot of headache. Yesterday was horrible, and I couldn't sleep the whole night.
Back it off. Don't go so fast. You know, so many people make the mistake of trying to be aggressive. I just want this thing done, and you just muscle your way through.
I only take four sprays, a liter spray, once a day, and today I feel much better.
Yeah, okay,
I feel much better. I pack it up. I still take the four spray, and then I take a lot of vitamin C in the water. The vitamin C I take a lot, and that might also help my bowel as well. So I'm doing, but the itching inside my lower stomach. still very itchy. I wonder if it's a biofilm there in that area. It's difficult to remove.
It could be.
Fungi.
Are you doing any biofilm like serrapeptidase?
Yes. Yes, I'm doing a biofilm, the one as well. It's called using the Clarax, the interface.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing
so do that.
Well,
now
so
be careful of the, up your ability to eliminate. So, you know, you had been constipated, you're not so constipated, but if you're doing this cleansing kind of thing and you're trying to get rid of stuff you're killing, I would, you know, you may consider doing an enema here and there or going for a colonic.
Yes. Yes, I just did my enema today.
Okay,
and
good.
The next
well, that's probably why you
the...
feel better. Right.
Yes.
So
next week I'll be doing the coffee and we're doing the liver flush, the one we're using the olive oil and Epsom salt. And each time when I do it, a lot of greeny stuff coming out. I don't know where they come from. I don't eat oily food at all. I don't know where they come from. So it could be congested in my bile.
Yeah.
Coming out
yeah,
a lot. That's why every 2 weeks I have to do it once and it makes me feel good. If I don't do it, I get a lot of pain in my liver.
That's fine. Then you do it. Until we get this all cleared up, you keep doing what you have to do to keep everything moving out. But the other thing with the enemas, if you get a bad detox reaction while you're doing a heavy metal detox or a gut cleanse detox, and this is to advise your patients as well, is that
yes.
If they start to get that reaction, you want to think, how can I increase elimination? Can I get them sweating? But, you know, the quickest way is usually an enema. Even if it's just a little small enema and you just fill up and eliminate, that can relieve a detox headache within 10, 15 minutes.
And
so,
Dr.
Don't forget
that. I find very useful after I do the enema, I clean up everything. I do two, three times the water and
yep.
distilled water and everything. And I use the probiotics in liquid form to do the retention. And it seems like the pain inside my stomach is gone in a few minutes.
That's great.
That
so that says
pain,
that
the
it's
pain that I have
biotic.
Near the itching area, the inside the lower sigmoid colon there. So
how often are you doing those retention enemas?
I do it almost every day.
Okay. Okay, good. Do it as often as you can. When you can't, the other thing you can do is you can make yourself suppository. So this is something, you know, a lot of your clients are not going to want to do enemas, like especially a retention enema.
No,
where
no.
They don't want to do it, right? They think it's gross or whatever, and it takes time. But here's what you can do. You can get suppositories. You can make suppositories with your probiotics in them.
But
and that's
I
especially
that one, though.
I will tell you how. I will
okay,
tell you
please.
How. It's very yeah. easy. But a lot of times when people have SIBO and when they take probiotics, it aggravates it because those bugs aren't moving all the way down to the large intestine where they should. It's better to give it by suppository. So here's what you do. One day I was like, okay, there's these things you can get at IKEA, which are you can freeze water in them like ice cube sticks. So you like stirs. And I thought, okay, we can make them with that and we can cut them. Then I said, well, on a whim, let me do a Google search for suppository molds. And sure enough, if you do a Google search for suppository molds, and Lynn, if we can find that link, let's put it in the CMDS elimination thing. But just do it. I mean, we all can do Google searches, right? We need to get really good at Google searches. Because a lot of times when we're on the phone, Lynn or I are really good at Google searches. She's better than me. And somebody will say something and suddenly we found it because it comes up really quickly if you know what you're looking for. You go suppository molds and there's these silicone molds that are the perfect size and shape for making suppositories. So you get coconut oil or a combination of cacao butter and coconut oil, depending on where you live. But coconut oil is probably fine. If you don't want to keep them in the refrigerator, you do cacao. But I prefer you keep them in the refrigerator. You're going to take and melt the coconut oil, and then you're going to put in enough of the probiotic so that each of your suppositories has, say, you know, somewhere between 10 and 50 billion organisms. And you mix it up and then you divide that out among the little molds, stick them in the freezer. Once they're frozen, stick them in the fridge and they should stay fine in the fridge. They will just take longer to go. So I usually put them in the freezer first. And then you can pop them out of the molds and put them in a jar and then make more. So very easy to make. And now you have suppositories. Right? And you put them in. And if people complain, here's where you want to maybe get into using the cacao butter in addition to the coconut or instead, because cacao has a higher melting point. So with the coconut, you're going to take them out of the fridge. They may be complaining that they have to stick this cold thing up their butt. Right? So if that's the case, then the next time you have them, make it with cacao butter. And the cacao butter will stay solid at room temperature. The reason I like the coconut oil better is it does have more some therapeutic properties for the large intestine, you know, in terms of the modified medium chain. Yeah, exactly. So I prefer to use the coconut, but if they have to use
the coconut oil to make it at room temperature.
Because the coconut, so if you live in a cold environment, will stay. You could take it out for a little while at room temperature, as long as you don't live in Texas like I do and you take it out.
When I'm going back to Malaysia, though.
Oh, when you go to Malaysia, exactly. You got to keep them in the fridge. But that's how you make the suppositories, and it's an excellent
tool. I'm going to go in all the time now. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, you know, when I just think about it, probably the enema, the retention enema is a little better. Maybe not. I don't know. Because you do the enema first, clear things out, and then do it and you have a clear sailing. But there's so many people who just won't do the enemas. They just won't.
It's a lot of time consuming, though. I'm every day busy with my own stuff. It's enough of stress.
Yeah. So try the suppositories. And for you yourself, like if there's days when you don't have time to do an enema, at least you can still get the probiotics into your large intestine, especially since you told me that after you do that, that pain goes away. That with the suppositories, you could do them two or three times a day. You can find the right dose for yourself. Whereas an enema, you're not going to do three enemas in a day. That's ludicrous.
No.
Unless that's all you have to do, right?
Well, I just do it four times a day. Depends on my situation.
Well, try the suppositories and then just do them once a day, and then you have the suppositories the rest of the day. And because the thing about the organisms is that you have to constantly be feeding them in so that they can implant and then they can crowd out everything else. If you just take probiotics occasionally, I mean, sure, it'll do some benefit, but it's not going to be this kind of benefit you need to really crowd out the bad organisms. So if you've got your biofilm disruptors, you're doing your enemas and retentions, you do your probiotic implants with your suppositories, and you alternate your stuff. I was a little confused by what you said, though, because you said you were on 10 days when we had talked about rotating every 5 days. So what was that? Did I misunderstand?
No, you didn't misunderstand. I thought I want to do it for 10 days. My gut is telling me that I do 10 days on over OC, then I'll switch it to garlic, the allicin. So it's my gut feeling telling me, so I thought I'm going to do that. So tomorrow I'm going to start with the garlic allicin, and then our next week I'll be doing the liver flush so that I can flush all this bacteria out in one go.
Well,
I've been busy with all my stuff. I can't believe myself. I said, my God, when I go back to Malaysia to with my mom and my brother some health issue, I won't think I got time to do all this for myself. I better do it while I'm here.
Yes. And then you can do the suppositories and the herbs and stuff while you're there. You may not be able to do as many enemas. It's hard when you're at somebody else's house to do an enema, too.
No. But it's very difficult for me to do that because my mom is 90 years old. She got some problem going on, so I'm more stressed.
Well, I'm going to this has been a great conversation. I think it's been a lot of learning for a lot of folks, and I'm going to, Stan's had his hand up for a long time, so I'm going to move on to Stan, but if any other questions come up as we're going through, raise your hand again. I don't know if I see it.
Okay, I have finished now because I'm taking only the bifidobacteria as well as the D-lactate. I'm taking both as well.
Okay, so those you can take orally, but if you've got issues with potential SIBO, you're not going to be able to take some of the lactic acid-forming ones that belong in the large intestine, like lactobacillus. Mm. But the beauty of taking it with a suppository is you can put all of them in. You can have a wide spectrum in there and replenish, and you can play around with different ones to find the ones that work best. Whereas orally, you don't want to do that if there's a SIBO issue going on, okay?
But I definitely cannot take the fermented food because I tried one teaspoon. My God, it's causing me more itching inside my stomach.
It might be a histamine reaction.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah,
I can't
take them. I stopped completely now. I'm going to give you one
last thing to look at, okay? Work at the gut stuff, yes. But if there's an overreaction to histamine, you are already doing C, but look into quercetin.
Quercetin. Okay.
Yep. quercetin is a really good mast cell stabilizer and will reduce the histamine reaction.
How much can I take then?
Oh, I don't know, 500 milligrams three times a day.
500 milligrams.
And, but also use it as a, you can use it as a prophylactic preventative, but you can also use it if you start to feel an itching. You feel any kind of histamine reaction anywhere in your body, you can use it that way as well. You can use it after you do that. And then you can up the dose and just play with the dose. You trust your intuition about the dose.
Yes. Yeah, I don't get itching outside my skin, though. I get itching inside my stomach. It's a very strange thing.
That sounds like it's a histamine reaction, really. So look at the quercetin as a possibility. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your help. I very much appreciated that. Okay.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay. Dan, hello.
Hi.
Echo. Hi.
Oh, am I echoing?
I'm echoing when I speak. So it sounds like you might have, if you can turn your volume down a little, maybe it's just because, am I coming through your speakers because you're on the web call? So it might be this, me echoing. So turn your volume down a little bit.
I just did. Did that help?
Okay. Yeah, I still hear it, but it's very light now. It's not going to drive me nuts. So.
Okay. I'm going to lower it on the actual webcast page. I just had a quick general question.
Sure.
If you or a client of yours had potentially the earliest stages of Parkinson's disease, what would be the first thing that you would want to do for yourself from a natural holistic perspective, obviously, to help deal with that?
Okay, so I'm going to answer it in two ways, because from my own perspective, a lot of the things that I would recommend, I'm already doing. So I'm going to recommend it from a more general perspective. Number one, get them off of gluten. Absolutely, positively, lots of evidence that gluten and Parkinson's are connected. So that's number one. Number two, clean up the gut. There's a lot of evidence that our early Parkinson's, like constipation, could actually be an early warning sign for Parkinson's. Because the dopamine is actually increases gut motility. And so Parkinson's is actually an extreme of low dopamine. And so I would be looking at their gut and what's going on with their gut and the parasympathetic dominance versus sympathetic dominance in the gut. So looking at their stress level to make sure that they're doing things like, the meditation or heart math or whatever other things you can get them to do.
Gotcha.
And doing the pre-meal ritual is super, super important as well. And then all the vagus nerve stimulation stuff. So that can be helpful. As far as if they're starting to show the signs like a tremor or something like that, then certainly what I've just said, all the foundational stuff, like, you know, that just goes without saying, all the foundational stuff, clean diet, off of processed foods, really good omega-3-6 balance, okay? But we want to make sure that they're making enough dopamine, so do they have the right precursors for dopamine? You got a stress bunny, and they're using up all their tyrosine to make noradrenaline and adrenaline, right? They don't have enough left over to make enough dopamine.
Gotcha.
So getting that stress level down, but also you may look at supplementing with some tyrosine and also the vitamin B6 as a precursor.
Okay.
And the other thing I would add to that, because I'm very much into not wanting to fix one neurotransmitter problem and create another, is that studies have shown that if you just focus on like the dopamine pathways and feed those, that you could end up with a rebound shortage in the serotonin pathways. So whenever I'm supporting either serotonin or dopamine with like tyrosine for the dopamine and 5-HTP for the serotonin, I always do a little of the other as well. So I would put them on something like a tyrosine plus 5-HTP plus vitamin B6 activated form P5P. And then, like I said, the overall good nutrition, brain health, MCTs and coconut have been found to be really supportive of brain. A lot more research on that related to Alzheimer's than there would be for Parkinson's, but I wouldn't be surprised if that would be the case for Parkinson's as well.
Okay. Now, I also have blood work where my testosterone and other hormone things are a little bit high or low, depending upon what it is. Would that have anything to do with causing this?
you know, everything can cause everything, is my opinion,
yeah.
Right? Right, because
yeah.
we have to look at the big picture. So I would look at those, and do you have the kind of testing where you got metabolites, or is it just a straight blood test?
Because neurologists are hard to see, my first test is January 12th.
Okay, so you don't have those tests done yet?
No, I don't have them done. I'll be, you know, blunt. My hands shake on their own now, and that never happened to me before. Mm-hmm. It happened to me periodically in November and December, but it would last like a minute and stop. Now, mm-hmm. for the last week, it's fairly consistent. It's a very light shake. Sometimes it's a little harder, but it's consistent, and I can't stop it even when I want to try. Like, mentally tell my hand to stop. Okay. It just does not stop anymore.
Okay. So, yeah, you know the difference between an intention tremor and a resting tremor, right?
Not exactly.
Okay, so that's the stuff that neurologists will look to differentiate, right? So
okay.
an intention tremor is like the hands are fine, but as soon as you start to go to reach for something, they start to shake. That's an intention tremor. And a resting tremor is just one that's just there. It sounds like what you're describing is a resting tremor.
Yeah, it's resting. Yeah, my fingers are shaking right now.
Okay, when we look at differential, you know, and the nasty D word that we're not supposed to use, but differential diagnosis, right, you're always looking at how do you differentiate? Well, so what conditions have a resting tremor? What other conditions have a resting tremor? So good old Google, I mean, I used to pull out my textbooks and everything else to look up rest, but I can just go with resting tremor. What other things have a resting tremor?
Okay.
So when I do that, there's something on the AAFP site that's differentiation and diagnosis of tremor. So I would say for you, before you go in and see a neurologist who isn't trained in functional medicine, right, is to really make sure you have as much information as you can so they don't try to pull the wool over your eyes and you're going, duh, duh, duh. You know what I mean? Because necessarily, like, no.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing an ND first. And a neurologist second, just because it seemed to make sense to me. I mean, appointment takes a while to get, so I said it.
Yes. Okay.
But I have the ND earlier in the week, I think Tuesday, and then Thursday is the neurologist.
Okay. Okay, so. Looking here. Did you have any injuries or any medications or anything that preceded this?
I do take a couple medications, but nothing that has side effect like tremors or anything like that. No.
Okay. Okay. So, tell me about the tremor. Is it just shaking? There's something they call a pill rolling tremor, where it's like your fingers are rolling over each other.
No, it's more of a, like, have you ever gotten a chill and your hands shake a little bit because you got a chill?
Yes.
That's how it is.
Does it go up into your forearms?
No, just my hand.
Okay. So, you know, it may not be a Parkinson's tremor.
May not be. I hope not.
It may be something else, right? In the meantime, you could easily just do these nutritional things. Are you gluten-free already? Hopefully.
No, but I will be starting tomorrow. I can tell you that.
What about starting today?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Because that's a huge piece of it. Huge, right? Okay, so I would just go that way. I would be looking at all the stuff you learned in you're in CMDS, right? The digestion. I don't know how much of it you've gone through, but just starting from the top and going, okay, what's out of balance in my own gut? Do the assessments. What nutrients are showing up, right? Just do all the assessments. Just take yourself through that process because that's going to be an essential piece to whatever this is, whether it's Parkinson's. I don't care what box you get put in, right? I don't really care. I care about is there's a dysfunction going on here. It's clearly a neurologic dysfunction, right? So
yeah.
What is it? Is it a central nervous system? Is it in your spinal cord? Is it a neurotransmitter imbalance? What is it and what can it be? And I think that we make a mistake by trying to give people diagnoses and putting them into these boxes because then, oh, you're in the Parkinson's box. We're going to give you, you know, this particular medication, right? Where you're in this box. Let's look at what's going on. So look at yourself from top to bottom as to what's going on with me, right? What signs do I have? Do the nutritional imbalances. Do those and see. These are all on paper pencil stuff, so they're cheap, they're easy. And then, you know, you'll be having these doctors will make recommendations as to particular tests and see what's going on, you know, whether they want to do an MRI or a CT scan or just some blood stuff to check it out to begin with. But you look at what can I be improving and maximizing in my own self-care.
Okay. That,
okay?
That sounds good.
Is critical. Gut, brain, you know,
sure.
Anything related to the brain, you got to get the gut healed. And there's a whole, you can skip all the way to the end of the thing. There's a presentation, a couple of presentations I did at our Shine, not this past one, but the one before, on, you know, just kind of laying out that neurology-gut interaction. So it's worthwhile to watch that and just really get yourself in that place.
Yeah, I don't believe I got those videos from you yet because I couldn't attend. But I'll look.
Oh, we haven't gotten them back yet. No, but this is last year's, and it's part of the CMDS program, and I think it's like module 20 or something in there.
Okay.
And it's a module on the gut brain connection. I don't remember what number it is, but you have it already. Yeah, and you haven't gotten these videos yet because we had to send them back to the videographer because he screwed them up. So we're still waiting.
Okay.
Right. We're still waiting to get those back, unfortunately, to over 2 months later. We expected it sooner. Right? But do some searching on your own. Look up some reputable sites to look up the differential diagnosis of the tremor. See if you can find a description that's close to what you're experiencing. Like you're not experiencing a pill rolling. It's not an intention tremor. It's a resting tremor. And then think and watch throughout the day, is it worse when you're tired? Is it worse when you haven't eaten much? Measure your blood glucose and see if it's related to glucose fluctuations. So there's a lot that you can be doing here to look at yourself from a functional perspective and putting yourself back together and optimizing regardless of what the actual quote-unquote diagnosis is. Make sense?
All right. That sounds reasonable. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All
good
right.
luck. Keep us posted.
Sure. All righty, I will.
All right. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to put down Stan's hand. And, oops, I should close his mic. Where is he now? Oops, I just lost him. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the chat. If you have any questions and you're on the web, just go ahead, on the phone, just go ahead and raise your hand, star 2. I'm going to go back to the Q&A. Sophie says, do I have experience with long-term Parkinson's after years of levodopa and blood-thinning medication? A man, mid-80s, no tremor, but muscles are very stiff, walking extremely difficult. I wonder if anything can do. You know, it really depends on what kind of damage has been done and if it's still functional or if there's a lot of atrophy or decay or that kind of stuff. He's in his 80s, but he doesn't have the full-on tremor. So certainly what all the stuff I just told Stan, if you can get him to do it, right, the get off the gluten, the get the gut cleared up and make sure all the foundations are, get him on some kind of stress management. I've been really excited by the Muse as a stress management. You know, I love HeartMath. I talk about that a lot. I love my little HeartMath device, but I wasn't using it a lot. But I have this thing going. Now I've meditated for 11 days straight for the first time in my life. And even though I can do 3 minutes, I can do 12 minutes, I can do 40 minutes, depending on what my time is. And I have this little band that tells me once my mind starts wandering. And it's a really great tool for people, especially men. I'm just going to, you know, I'll put out a bias just from based on my husband, because my husband never could meditate. And we've been trying for years to get him to do it. And he's been meditating for, he just keeps telling me the numbers, 310 days or something in a row now, because it's like has to do it or he's going to wreck his streak. Right. And so it helps to do that and get the mind going into that parasympathetic state where all the healing happens multiple times a day, because you could set up like 5 minute little increments to take meditation breaks. And I have my little headband sitting here so that like between calls, if I get 5 minutes, I can do my meditation. So that's something to look into as well. But it's also, you want to look at neurotransmitter imbalances and all the stuff I just mentioned to Stan. But I don't know, you know, I think anything can happen and anything can be reversed. You know, you just have to find the right keys And his willingness is huge. You know, a lot of times people in their 80s aren't willing to make the changes that they need to make. Okay? Thank you for that question. I'm going to look at the chat and see. Lynn did post a few links for everybody on stuff we were talking about. She found the adult suppository mold. Yay. If you can pass that on to Stacy so she could add it to the web page, that would be great. On the elimination page, figure it out. Under resources, maybe. Pure encapsulation, or maybe on the general advanced topics and resource page as well. So pure encapsulation is quercetin she put up. She put up a thorn quercetin as well. So, yeah, there you go. Any other questions, comments? I'll refresh my thing here. Sophie, congrats on the meditation. Yeah, thank you. Insight Timer. You know, I downloaded Insight Timer, and I didn't really use it. I maybe don't know how to use it. I did use it once. So cool. Yeah. Thank you. All right. We have two other questions. We have Bernarnin Brend.
There we go.
Who's that?
Hi, it's Brenda.
Oh, hi, Brenda. It cut you off.
Hi. Like,
Bernard Brend? Okay.
Bernard Brend. That's okay.
Yes. Okay, great.
So my question is about those little bumps that form on the finger. I'm not sure if they're full-blown arthritis. But my mother's hands and her mother's hands were very deformed from that. And I'm noticing a little knob starting in one of my fingers, and I'm 48. And I know with my Cyrex multi-tissue antibody test, I definitely did show arthritis tendencies.
Okay, so collagen,
you know, equivocal
antibodies, yeah. Okay.
So I'm wondering, is it possible to stop and, you know, arrest and even reverse that process?
You definitely can arrest it. Absolutely, no okay. doubt in my mind. And I've seen it reverse. I have actually seen it reverse. You've got to be very diligent. You've got to go through and really focus on autoimmune protocols, which means healing leaky mm-hmm. gut and checking for heavy metals mm-hmm. and all your stressors and getting off of gluten and all the allergens, identifying all the allergens, checking the HCL. I mean, there's a whole series of things, making sure that you're getting plenty of antioxidants. I would check your 23andMe as well to see if you have any issues with maybe needing extra glutathione, or it couldn't mm-hmm. even hurt to... I can't say it couldn't hurt, but you can look into liposomal glutathione. The only problem is if you have some pathways where your sulfur pathways are blocked, taking the glutathione could have a negative feedback and not let your body produce as much. So you can try a little bit of that. I wouldn't go hog wild on it, but that could be very helpful. There actually is a supplement from Apex Energetics called OxyCell. And
oh yeah, I have it.
You can apply that to the joints.
Okay.
I just put them right on the joints. Yeah, put it on other spots on your body, but apply it to the inflammatory areas. People put it on their thyroid. People with Hashimoto's will put it on their thyroid. So you clearly have autoimmune going on. Let's arrest it now. Right? You have the leaky gut protocols. Go through and do the leaky gut protocols on you. It's always good to go through these programs and actually do them all on yourself.
I have been living that way for many years because I have Hashimoto's, so I'm already living that way.
So there's still something, though, right? There's still something you miss.
Yes.
Right? Because if you've been doing that, maybe have your Hashimoto's antibody levels gone down?
Definitely, but they're still, you know, 10, 15.
Okay,
they're
10,
not zero.
It's not a big deal, but you've done a lot of progress, but there's still that tendency. Mm-hmm. There's still a stressor there. So you might want to look at heavy metal testing. You might want to look at some other things like the glutathione. I don't know if you're taking the OxyCell, but maybe applying that directly to your joints or increasing the levels or looking at some others. And looking, you know, it might be good to get your genetic pathways and run the geneticgenie.org detox path panel. And then look all those different CYPs that show up, and find out what environmental toxins you might not be real good at getting rid of. And it could be something as simple as your mattress, right? That's creating a toxin that has a specific toxin that your pathways just don't break down enough. So there's a lot of little stuff like that, secondhand smoke, heterocyclic amines, exhausts from the car, keeping the garage door open for 20 minutes before you close it if you have an attached. There's all kinds of little things that may just be enough of a little stressor. Or here's the other deal, right? You might have it at bay already, and those antibodies maybe were higher before when you're at, when your thyroid antibodies were higher, and now they've come down. But doing that test was a good idea because it says, okay, there's still some stress here. What can I do to either bring it down or arrest it where it is and not let it get worse?
Okay. And everything you listed, I have. I know I've tested the heavy metals. I have MTHFR and DYP.
Okay.
I have the perfect storm.
You have the perfect storm. And are you doing any kind of supplementation for like methyl B12s and folate and those sorts of things?
And the 5-MTHF.
Okay. And how about SOD and SOD and glutathione?
I have a liposomal glutathione. I just kind of forget about it because it's in the fridge.
Yeah.
I
know how that goes.
And I used to do shots. Yeah.
Okay.
What about
doing a lot.
Does that help?
MSM can be helpful as long as you don't have some sulfur blockage pathways, right? So you have to look at, there's certain folks, if you ever work with people who they give MSM and they go, oh my God, I felt awful, or they eat garlic and they feel awful, right? If you have a problem eating garlic, don't take MSM.
Okay. And is there a module that would go into this, or that's more general autoimmune module?
We have a module in our thyroid program that goes into more of it, and we have a in our NEPT program, we have a whole immune system module that goes into a lot more of that. Yeah, in our full program.
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay, I'm in that.
Okay.
So I'll look forward to that.
Oh, you are?
Awesome.
Okay,
thank you.
So that'll be coming probably
Happy
within
New
the
Year.
Next few months. You're welcome. Thank you.
Awesome.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. That was Brenda. We have Keiko. I always want to say it's Michael Keiko, right? Is that how I say it? Keiko? Did I say it right? Your line's open, but you might have muted yourself. Keikel? Keiko?
Okay, sorry.
Keiko.
I was muted.
There you are. Okay.
If you have to think French, it's Keishel.
Keishel. So Michelle, Keishel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to think of it as Michelle, not Michael. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Michelle, I love it. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I don't even know where to start. I'm going to start with asking about quercetin because that's new for me. I'm just learning about the whole histamine thing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it earlier and it reminded me of that because I'm actually having a severe allergic reaction right now. And I'm wondering if that would be helpful if you're having, like, chemical reactions. Like, we painted our house, and I'm breaking out, and I can't breathe in. It's horrible.
Yeah, it could. It definitely, there's more to it if it's chemical exposure, but it's a good start. I've used quercetin phenomenally for people who get cedar fever in Texas or who have inhalant-type allergies, ragweed, et cetera. Phenomenal. There's actually a product from – I think it's Vital Nutrients called Aller-C. That's a combination of vitamin C with quercetin with a couple of other bioflavonoids. Works amazingly well. Bowel tolerance, vitamin C. So if you have had an exposure and you're having a reaction, the first thing I would personally do would get out my bottle of powdered vitamin C, and I'd be taking a teaspoon an hour in water. And if I started to have too many bowel movements, then I'd back off. Yeah, maybe a half teaspoon, whatever you feel comfortable with. And if you start to feel gurgly and loose stools, then you just back it off. But I'd rather get to the point of bowel tolerance and have the loose stools and know that I've saturated myself with it. And that can turn things around, like, amazingly fast. But I would do the quercetin as well if there's any kind of histamine reaction. But now you're talking chemical exposure. That's, you know, the VOCs, and that's actually stressing different pathways in the liver as well. So... There may be some issues with methylation, with glucuronidation, and things like that. Obviously, you know, decreasing the exposure, wearing masks when you're using paints, buying low and no VOC paints, which are real good, and, you know, looking into chemical, protecting yourself from the chemicals is always important, right? Always important. But I would be looking at, well, what can we do to step up your liver to get rid of that stuff? I would say try a coffee enema.
And coffee enema.
A coffee enema is going to go back. Yep, I would definitely do a coffee enema to try to get out of this acute state. And then you can even probably do an implant after that with something with high chlorophyll content or even garlic, which can be good for stimulating that. So you do the coffee enema, you flush it, and then you can do an implant where you hold it maybe 4 to 8 ounces of water with, you know, blended and well-strained garlic or MSM or chlorophyll, some sort of chlorophyll thing, whether it's liquid chlorophyll or some kind of green powder or even green juice strained really well, wheatgrass juice. I've done them with wheatgrass juice, which can be really phenomenal. So all of those things can just—it's just to boost your liver and your immune system to push this stuff out,
push everything out. Yeah, and like, how do I get out of this? Because I know normally it lasts for like crazy, like weeks if it's on my skin. I'm allergic extremely to MI. That's the lysozyoxazoline, and if I get it on my skin, my face swells up and everything, and so it's in the paint. And I wasn't thinking people painted the house that were trying to sell it. And I can't breathe and I can't function.
Definitely.
But you were saying the vitamin C. I actually have some, what is this? It's like 1 gram per scoop of vitamin C. So
great.
How much of that did you say? Like every hour?
Yeah, I would do at least 1 gram an hour, 1 gram every half hour. Probably try 1 gram an hour. Do you have a tendency towards loose stools or constipation?
I actually was more constipated than anything. And I did 1 gram. Try it the other day. It made me a little loose, but I only had like, I think I had maybe 3 or 4 grams at one time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Don't do that. I would just play with it and see if you want to do 1 gram one scoop every half hour or an hour, at least initially, maybe do it every half hour and then you can spread it out I'm always a big fan of flooding the system. And a lot of times the things I actually do on myself, I'm a little like cautious about recommending to other people because the doses I use are phenomenally high. If I start to feel like somebody in my household is sniffling or I start to feel a little scratchiness, I just load up on that vitamin C. And it's usually gone within 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know.
Afraid
of trying it.
Don't be afraid of trying it. Castor oil. You can do castor oil. I've done that and I've had people get out of those kind of skin reactions in 3 hours with a high dose vitamin C and applying castor oil and flax oil to their skin.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to find vitamin E and vitamin whatever else to ingest and
try
put
the castor oil. That's so easy to
coconut
find.
Coconut oil, aloe vera.
Yeah, that's just good, but that's more soothing. I mean, that's got some therapeutic value, but castor oil actually gets in there and stimulates the lymphatic flow to the area. So that's going to help to pull, you know, you're going to get the histamine levels down. It's going to help to pull that and draw that out, and then you're going to do the elimination piece with the enema to get it really completely out. So you want to always look at all the different channels. You want to open up lots of channels, and you want to stimulate your body to try to get rid of something, but then you have to make sure all the channels of elimination are open. If you have access to a sauna, that could be helpful as well. Spread it out.
I wish. They closed ours down, unfortunately.
Oh.
I've been doing the Epsom salt soaking in the bath. I don't know if that helps, but
it can.
I've been trying that as well.
It can as well, it definitely. But, do that in combination with some of these other things.
Okay. I will definitely try that. Thank you so much. Sure. I don't know. Yeah. The other thing that I had a question was, I have a little one. I don't know if you
I hear your little one. How old is your little one?
Well,
a lot of experience.
Five.
Five, okay.
Yeah, the one I'm speaking of is five. And just recently, we noticed that he's having bleeding, like in his underwear. And I was assuming it's maybe like a hemorrhoid or something because I saw something kind of sticking out. And a lot of the things online say, oh, don't worry about it if there's no pain. He has no pain, no fever. But I'm thinking it's something going on with obviously his gut because he has severe eczema everywhere.
Oh,
I've not been able to get rid of. And
I'm
just wondering like where. I don't know. I think he may be off and on. I'm not in the bathroom with him all the time.
I know.
So
he
used to have the whole bloating.
Yeah.
He used to have the bloating going on, but now he's not bloated anymore. So I'm like, well, I think some of it's working.
Food allergies.
We're trying.
Gluten, dairy, soy, eggs.
Yeah, we've gotten rid of all of those.
Okay.
Fatty acids.
Fatty acids, make sure his omega-3-6 balance isn't off. and that's a real critical piece. A lot of times kids are just not getting enough omega-3s. You can start with flax oil, chia seeds, hemp oil, those sorts of things. Mix them with a little coconut because the coconut helps to convert them better.
Okay.
Assuming he's off processed food, is he on?
Probably off all processed food.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's so nice to talk to somebody where that's just like, oh yeah, he's already. People go, huh?
Yeah, because I assumed that he had allergies when I saw the eczema, and I took him to the doctor, of course, got him tested. They're like, no, he's not allergic to anything. And I'm like, not even slightly. And she goes, oh, I didn't think of that. And then she looks back, she's like, oh, he's like a one or a two on a few things. I'm like, what are they? It was like soy, eggs, dairy, fish, sesame cheese.
Right.
I was like, well, thank you. Now I know. I'm just going
to have to cut it all out and start over.
So
this reminds me of, don't ever take what the doctor says about labs. Always get labs. Do not let the doctors own your labs. Like, thank you very much. I need copies. Well, why do you need copies? Because I need copies, because I want to have a complete health record for my child. What if I move? I don't want to have to bother you to get the record.
That's true.
Have all of your own records, and just get your clients to do the same thing. You own it. They own it.
Good.
They may make you something, and they may give you a
hard
time.
I get them for me, but I didn't think about that.
Get his files for each of your kids and just, you know, keep it going. Because you always want to be able to look back. If something else happens in 2 years, you go, oh, look at that. It's similar to what happened back here. Or look at that. His iron is really low. Oh, the last time we tested it was a little lower, but the time before that it was, you know, you can kind of look and say, oh, there's been a trend here. Right.
But I have to worry about the chia seeds if he has issues with sesame seeds and nuts and things like that, because I was giving them to him for a while, and then I was like, well, maybe we should cut these out too, since we have all these other things.
They're not the same family.
Okay.
So, yeah, you could try it for a little bit and just give them, instead of the seeds, give them like flax, okay?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was giving him chia seeds. He liked it, so it is. They aren't processed in a facility with peanuts or anything, the ones that I have. But once I realized that we were still giving him sesame seeds by accident and that was causing him issues, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll just cut out all seeds.
You could. That's an elimination diet. Cut it out, and then he's not getting any better. Okay. Then it's probably, if you got him to a certain point, there's probably something else there. And it could be gut dysbiosis. Are you giving him probiotics? Is he chewing his food?
I have not figured out which one to give him yet. He's chewing his food. He takes his time.
Good.
We do the whole game at the table to see who can take the longest.
Oh, that's great. I love it. That's awesome. So you're not giving him a probiotic or probiotic food?
I'm not giving him any probiotics yet. I did try giving him, like, kombucha, but I guess that's not really quite.
That's not a great one.
Could
have wild yeast.
So
yogurts are fun.
I've been trying to figure out what's a good one to give him. He does coconut yogurt.
You make it yourself?
Of course, that's from a store, too. I'm not making it myself. That is probably the only processed thing he's getting.
Yeah, make it yourself.
So I need to find whatever the starter is for that or something, I guess.
Any probiotic will do, especially if it has like Streptococcus faecalis is one of the ones that helps to start it. But yeah, go to Steph Jackson's site. She's in this program. She has all kinds of stuff on making probiotic foods. StephJackson.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I will check
She's
that out.
The queen of that stuff. Yeah. But so if you're not sure, does he get bloated when he eats? Is there a possibility of a SIBO?
It doesn't seem like he does anymore. I think that maybe by taking everything out that we've taken out so far, it's kind of helped with that.
Yeah. Okay. So with the probiotic,
you can be
cautious and give him a D-lactic acid-free probiotic. That would be cautious, or just a Bifidus, because he's five and kids need more Bifidus than adults do. You could do that to start, and then you can get a separate, like a lactobacillus, and just see how he does with that. And if you add the lacto and it gets bloated, then you take it out.
Okay.
Use it for yourself.
Makes sense.
But definitely the flax oil would be probably a good one for the omega-3s, because it doesn't have the protein, so he's not going to react allergically to it. Flax oil and coconut oil together, flax oil, coconut oil combo.
Okay.
And that can often clear it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very
anyway.
Welcome. Yeah, give it a try. I know, you know, I work with a friend of mine who's a chiropractor, and she just talked to me when her kid was little. This was a long time ago. And it was these things like I wouldn't have thought to tell her because I just thought she knew. Because I knew, but is he this and is that and that, and the same things I just mentioned to you. And he was getting sick all the time. He had eczema, and she did this, and within one season, boom, completely turned around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's pretty active. He's very vigorous, whatever the word is.
Yeah,
he acts like he's perfectly fine, you know. But it's just the skin, and now this bleeding, and I'm like, well, what do I do? Because we live in the middle of nowhere, and I can't find a doctor that I would trust to.
Well, do you know how to look for a hemorrhoid? Will he let you look?
Well, I did look, and that's what I'm saying. I saw a little, like a little ball. He actually had like a little ball of.
Okay, well, this sounds like a hemorrhoid.
So that's what I was like. Okay, it's a hemorrhoid. You know, no big deal. And the suggestion was to give him like baths or whatever, the Epsom soak bath. So I did that, and then. It doesn't seem to be going away, though. And I'm like, well, how long are you going to have this hemorrhoid for?
Right. And it depends if you got to get rid of the root cause, right? And the doctors will just say, do this. And they don't say, well, the reason is because he's constipated. So ask him really carefully, like, about his poop. You know, have a fun poop conversation. They like those conversations.
Yeah, we have poop.
Five.
They like poop conversations. I go, did you have a snake? Is it a skinny snake or no?
A skinny, fat, back,
a snake, Mom.
Was it hard? How often? Make sure that they're doing they're pooping enough, and you know, make it a contest. Okay, we're gonna do something to help you poop more. I want you to be pooping three times a day, okay? And then they can come and tell you whether they're pooping three times a day.
Yeah.
Colinsonia.
Definitely, I'll have to check more on it.
Check on Colinsonia. Colinsonia. You can often get it comes as suppositories, but you can also get it as cream often, if he'll let you, or you can just make the game. Hey, we're going to get that little ball you have down there to go away. Let's see how fast we can get that ball to go away. And if he wants to do it himself, you know, if you can find it in a cream, that's even better than a suppository, just because kids are not going to be real happy about suppositories.
Okay. Colinsonia.
Colinsonia root. Yeah. Yeah.
Root. Got it. Okay. Yeah, he's really good at the game. So he's all game. I was like, let's get rid of the bad bugs. We're gonna have to eat less sugar so we can get rid of the bad bugs in your tummy. He's like, okay.
Oh, that's sweet. That's great. You're doing a great job there.
He likes it. He likes to play along. So all right, thank you very much.
All right,
I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Better place to start from.
Yep, you're on the right track. But yeah, look through the stuff that we've taught you in CMDS and find, like, are there little things that, you know, that might be happening that you can help them with. Enzymes might help. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I don't see any other hands up. We're at 3:23, so that gives me 7 minutes before my next call. So I think we'll... unless there's some other questions, I'll check, and then we'll call it a day, and then I'll go on to my next call. Refresh. Super. Okay, so nothing there. Let's go to the chat. All right. Lynn said she just downloaded the Insight Timer app. So, cool. Yeah. Lynn, if you could see if you can find a Colinsonia cream. I'm just assuming. I think there is a cream, but if there's a Colinsonia cream, that would be great. There she goes. She just put it up. She's so good at researching. There we go. Yay. Click on the link, Kishel. I'll have to get those names between Kishel and who's the other one? Eva. I'm getting it right. Cool. All right. So if you guys have no other questions, which I don't see any, last chance. Have a great rest of the afternoon and evening. If you're in the sweet spot, we'll be having our kickoff call this evening, which is going to be really fun. If you're not in the sweet spot, as practitioners know that if you join the sweet spot now, that tuition will get fully credited towards the insulin resistance practitioner training, and we're going to be announcing that at the end of the month. So let us, you know, if you want to do that, just do that, and you'll get credit for, towards it, and then you can get started with it. So thank you all very much for being here, and we'll talk again soon. I'll open your line so we can say goodbye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.